Hello. Hello, everyone. It's me, your boy, Dean. I'm here to give you this piping hot tea. Hope everyone's having a good day today. Sorry, I haven't been recording as much as I wanted to. I got so busy with work and other obligations. But I'm here now. So let's begin. So I wanted to do a video on the craziness going on with this actors and writers strike that's gone on in Hollywood. And it essentially has shut the whole Hollywood system down. So I'm going to play you all two clips from MSNBC to show what's going on, then I'm going to give my commentary.
Picket lines have already formed this morning, and NBC News entertainment contributor Chris Witherspoon. So Dana, NBC Universal's parent company Comcast is a member of the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. They've been in negotiations with the union for actors. And the organization released a statement on the strike saying, quote, "We are deeply disappointed that SAG-AFTRA has decided to walk away from negotiations. This is the union's choice, not ours. Rather than continuing to negotiate, SAG-AFTRA has put us on a course that will deepen the financial hardship for thousands who depend on the industry for their livelihood." So that's obviously what the studios and producers are saying. What are the actors saying?
So they say that they want fair pay and they want a bigger piece of the pie. You know, there's been an upheaval in the entertainment industry. One, they're still reeling from the pandemic, and you've got the addition of streaming, which has really changed the way they get paid. When you think about the network pay, they're used to getting higher residuals because their shows are there's more episodes and their shows are in syndication or they keep running. But for streaming, they don't have a way to calculate exactly how many views they're getting per show, so they're just getting a flat rate fee, and they feel like they need a better formula for that. They want to make sure that they're getting what they're owed. They feel like the studios and the CEOs are making millions of dollars and they're left with nothing. And yesterday, SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher, who we all know as the Nanny, gave a very passionate and fiery speech during their press conference once they announced the strike. Listen.
"I am shocked by the way the people that we have been in business with are treating us. I cannot believe it, quite frankly. How far apart we are on so many things. How they plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right when giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. I am shocked by the way the people that we have been in business with are treating us. I cannot believe it, quite frankly. How far apart we are on so many things. How they plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right when giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. It is disgusting. Shame on them. They stand on the wrong side of history."
Just hours from now, Hollywood actors are hitting the picket line to strike. They ask for better wages, health benefits, and guardrails against artificial intelligence. The contract negotiations officially failed. They joined thousands of writers who walked off the job in May, effectively shutting down all of Hollywood. We should note that Comcast, the corporation that owns NBC Universal, is one of the entertainment companies represented by the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. With that, I want to bring in my old friend, CNBC media reporter, Alex Sherman. Alex, this is the first time both have been on strike at the same time since the 1960s.
By the way, trivia question, do you know who the SAG president was in 1960? Ronald Reagan.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Look at you, Alex, bringing a little politics to
me.
How did we get here?
So this is what is going on right now with the Hollywood strike is like a microcosm of American business. I will try not to get wonky with you, but I will take you on a small little journey here. For 20 years or so, this system worked great, right? People generally watch TV on cable TV, 100 million households subscribe to cable, very profitable model, the media company's very happy, box office, movies, that's how the movie business gets paid. The financial crisis hits. We go into a low interest rate environment. Investors start looking for growth stocks. When interest rates are low, that's typically where the investor markets go. Netflix starts to get all of these subscribers. And suddenly,
the golden age of streaming starts.
Age of streaming starts. And investors love it with this low interest rate environment. So they start pouring into Netflix, and the legacy media companies say, well, wait a second, Netflix is not only is their valuation high, they're starting to get all this money in their coffers, and they're now outspending us on content, or at least spending requisite to us. We need to transition our businesses to be more like Netflix. So that happens 2019, 2020. And for a little while, it seems to work. But then what happens? Well, interest rates start to creep up, and the growth at Netflix last year stops. And so Netflix plummets, and with Netflix plummeting in valuation, all the legacy media companies plummet too. The problem is they're 10 years behind Netflix on streaming. So Netflix now finally has a business that makes money, but Comcast and Disney and Warner Bros. Discovery and Paramount are now stuck in a model that still doesn't make any money. And that's where we are today.
So when we're saying these big companies are being greedy, they won't pay their actors, they won't pay their writers a living wage. The actors and writers have a good argument to make. Nothing was adjusted when we went to a streaming world, and they are not being paid fairly how they used to be, right?
That's the other side of this coin, right? So the media companies are now saying, look, we're not making any money on streaming, actually. You need to be aware of the realities of the situation you're in. But the writers and the actors are saying, we're getting paid on the old model. We haven't had a new contract here that makes up for the fact that all of these people now are watching on streaming. So we want to get paid in a way where we can somehow figure out if all these people are watching my show on streaming, I get paid the requisite amount for that. And right now, that system doesn't exist. So it's a very reasonable argument that they're making. The other side of the coin, though, is that if the media companies finally say, you know what, fine, we'll pay you. We'll pay you what you want. What's going to happen? I bet you what's going to happen is the cost of your streaming service is going to go up. So from a consumer standpoint, even
it's
though you may
classic,
want to cheer for the writers,
it's the classic, we want wages to go up, but as soon as they go up, that big fat company says, where am I going to get the money from? The consumer.
They're certainly not going to eat the cost and just watch their value just keep tanking on Wall Street. They're going to have to come up with some new ways to make money.
I am not saying that the media industry is in crisis, but is it fair to say it is in deep decline? Bob Iger just said this week that for the first time, Disney would consider selling off their TV assets, right? He said that, those who are striking are being unreasonable. Whether he's right or wrong, it's a serious statement for the head of Disney to say, maybe we don't need TV anymore, linear TV.
Yeah, I mean, it was the heart of the business. He also said they're looking for a strategic partner in ESPN, which has long been the crown jewel of Disney. So if you kind of read between the lines here, what you're seeing is a company that used to make all of its money in one way, kind of saying, you know what, we're tossing in the flag here, or raising the white flag and saying, we're not going to make this money this way anymore, and we need to adjust for realities. Skeptics would say he should have done this 5 years ago, but now at least he's finally saying, you know what, we have to figure out some way forward so that we're not anchored as a legacy media company and we don't have the growth that, say, a Netflix has.
But he's unwilling to say, let me negotiate and find a way to pay these people more money. But this week, he found a way to extend his own contract. Doesn't that make it more difficult, at least for appearances, for those who aren't making any money? They're on the picket line and he's making millions and millions saying, guys, we don't have the money.
It's not great optics. I mean, and it's not just him, by the way. David Zaslav also makes a ton of money as a media CEO. Media CEOs have long made tens of millions of dollars. It used to make more sense, potentially, when they had this old traditional model that just spewed cash everywhere. Now they have a streaming business that is losing money, may finally break even in 2024, but the media company's CEOs are still getting paid tens of millions of dollars. So it's a legitimate point, I think, from the writers and the actors saying, look, this thing is out of whack here. We're just trying to have a meal. You know, we're just trying to have rent here. And meanwhile, you're saying we're unreasonable, but you're making $25 million a year.
It's just as you started this segment. This is a microcosm of what is happening to business and small businesses and industries across this country. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer with technology advancing and driving right through.
Exactly. We didn't even talk about AI, which is one of the big issues here. But certainly that needs to be considered as well. Actors and writers don't want their likenesses used so they can just be replicated, and then they don't even have to get paid on that. So that's a part of the discussion as well.
And this discussion is not ending, hopefully.
So that's what's going on. Now, you know, first of all, let me drink from my tea before I begin. Okay. Now, this is the first time both unions, the Writers Guild and the Actors Guild, have striked together in 60 years. The last time they did this was in 1960. And again, this was when Ronald Reagan was the president of the SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild. That's a union that protects the actors so they get paid properly. And the reason that strike happened was, for those of y'all who know Hollywood history, in the early 60s, television had literally took over. It used to be movies was the main entertainment, then television took over. And, you know, there was questions around how the actors and writers on these TV shows should get paid. And again, like we're seeing now, some of the people who ran these TV networks weren't paying the actors and writers properly. And so they had to strike so they could get paid properly. Then, in 1980, there were actors striking again. This time it was just the actors, it wasn't the writers. There were actors striking again because in the 80s, when video cassettes and VHS players and pay-per-view television was just getting popular, you know, these actors were only getting paid one time. And again, you know, their likeness is being used in replications and syndication, and they had to strike so these actors could get paid. So this is really a big deal. And like the reporters have said, Hollywood has shut down. You know, like, think about when the pandemic first started and Hollywood stopped making movies. That's what's going on right now. That's what happened in 1960. That's what happened in 1980. And that's what's happening in 2023. You know, and this is really significant because a lot of movies are still slated to come out this summer. Especially the biggest movie that's about to come out is this Barbie movie, and they already had the red carpet for that. But a lot of, apparently since the actors are striking, you know, it seems that there won't be no more appearances anymore, or if there are, they're going to be limited appearances. So it would just be very interesting to see how this affects the movie, that movie's box office. But yeah, this is really big news. So let me give my opinion on this. First of all, I love how that guy in the second video I showed you all really broke down what led up to this. You know, he was discussing how Netflix really, really jump-started this push to streaming, which is true. Netflix did jump-start that. And, you know, during the pandemic, you saw all these other older companies, he calls them legacy medias because they've been around for so long, like Disney, MGM, Paramount, Warner Brothers, have all jumped on the streaming bandwagon. That's why you see ads from MGM Plus, Paramount Plus, what's the other one? Peacock TV and all this other stuff, because all these other companies are jumping on this, on that bandwagon. However, because Netflix and Hulu went through the trials and tribulations and they have a different model than someone like Disney, it works for Netflix, but it doesn't work for Disney. And let me explain. If you've been following my podcast for quite some time, you all will remember one of my most popular videos was when I broke down the MTV VMAs, and I was discussing how the music industry had changed again because of streaming, because people are streaming albums now instead of actually buying physical copies. Now, you know, my dad said I was age shaming a little, and that was coming down too hard on some of these older artists, some of the older people in the music industry. And I was just explaining that a lot of these older people are out of the loop about how technology has changed stuff and how things are just different. And the same thing could be said for the movie and TV industry. You know, the old way of making money, like that guy said, the model that these studios are still running by, that worked 30 years ago in 1993. It ain't gonna work in 2023. The old way of the movie industry was, you're gonna shoot a movie, it's gonna play in theaters for about 3 months, then it's either going to go on VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, and it's going to be on syndication on TV. And that's how a lot of these actors and writers and directors and stuff were getting paid. Because you can count that. You can count how many people bought this VHS tape, how many people got this DVD, how many people sat there and viewed this rerun of this movie. That's why, and I know some of y'all remember this, when you used to get a VHS tape or a DVD before the movie would come on or the TV show would come on, that thing that had the FBI page on it would pop up and it would say, piracy is a crime. If you are caught duplicating this copy, you will face X amount of time in jail. Because a lot of these unions, like the Writers Guild Union, Directors Guild Union, you know, SAG, fought for that. Because if you were pirating, aka bootlegging movies and TV shows, you know, that was taking money out of the actors and directors and writers' hands. So, you know, that was the old way of doing things. But on streaming, that's just different because, again, there's really no real way to count how many people watch something on, you know, some of these newer streaming platforms, like say Disney Plus. There's no way to really know how many people watched a movie on Disney Plus. On Netflix, you can see how many people watch something. On Hulu, you can. But on Disney Plus, MGM Plus, not really. Also, I think this is a prime example of, you know, just because something works for one person doesn't mean it's gonna work for you. Streaming worked for Netflix, for one, because when you get Netflix, you know, you're not just watching American TV shows and movies. You're watching stuff worldwide. On my Netflix account, I mostly watch British stuff, Nigerian stuff, South African entertainment, Italian entertainment, French entertainment. I watch, you know, international stuff more than I watch American dramas or American TV shows or American movies, because a lot of the international entertainment, in my personal opinion, is more interesting than some of the American stuff that's coming out over here. And that's just my personal opinion. You know, you have something like MGM Plus, you're just going to be watching, you know, the same old movies that we've all grown up and seen over and over again. And you can do that on a DVD player or even on YouTube. For example, the movie Legally Blonde, that's on MGM Plus. You know, why would I subscribe to MGM Plus and pay damn near $10 a month for a movie like Legally Blonde, when one, I can still get the DVD, or I can go watch it for $2 on YouTube. Even something like Disney Plus, the only thing on there is really Disney products. And unless you are a Disney freak, you know, who wants to sit there and just watch nothing but Disney TV shows and movies? Again, on Netflix and Hulu, there's a variety of things, you know, that you can watch on there. And also, you know, from what I've seen, people like artists or actors who work with Netflix can negotiate with them. Some of these other older companies really can't, because again, they're going off of an old model that no longer works. It doesn't. So, you know, I really think this is why it's good for newer faces and newer talents to get into these positions, because let's face it, this ain't 1993 no more, like I said. And you have people who don't understand what's going on, and then it leads to stuff like this. I'm not mad at Fran Drescher, who I do love, or these other actors who are boycotting and going on strike, especially these writers. Okay? Like I've said before millions of times on this podcast, I took creative writing classes in college and in high school. I even took a script writing class in college. And my professor, who I'm not going to say his name because, you know, he's a private citizen, you know, he told us he went out there to Hollywood, you know, tried to be in the industry, And you know what? He was honest. He said it's a cutthroat industry. And you know what? He said unless you're making, you know, thousands upon thousands of scripts each year, you know, you ain't gonna make that much money. And he said he went out there to Hollywood in the 90s. So imagine what's going on today with streaming, and you really don't know how many people are watching this stuff so you can pay your people correctly. Plus, you also have to deal with people stealing your shit, jacking your shit, trying to write your stuff off of their own. And my professor was very honest about that. You know, and I think that's why a lot of people really need to look up on these industries before they go into them. I said this with the music industry, and I'm saying this with the movie and TV industry. Know your shit before you just jump in the fire. Because a lot of these actors are not living, you know, these glamorous lifestyles. Most of these people are renting. Most of them have roommates. And they've gave interviews about this. The girl from Euphoria, Sydney, who plays Cassie, for my followers who watch Euphoria, because I do watch Euphoria, you know, she gave an interview and she said that she has a roommate because the rent in LA is high. And people were shocked that she was renting. But, you know, everything is expensive right now. Okay, inflation has affected everyone, including people in Hollywood. And a lot of these new people are up-and-coming people who only have one TV show or one big movie to their name. You know, people are acting like everybody lives like Denzel Washington, Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Jay-Z, and Beyonce. No, those people have been around for ages and have established stuff back in the day, 30 years ago, when that old model worked and can retire. These up-and-coming people or people who've been around for quite a while and not really household names but still live off of the stuff they did 40 years ago, that's who all this is affecting. It is. And I'm glad that, you know, more attention is being put on this artificial intelligence. And again, if you've been following for quite some time, I said the artificial intelligence was going to affect the entertainment industry. I broke down how it was affecting the music industry and the artists over there fighting back. But it's also creeped its way over into the movie and TV industry. Because for those of y'all who don't know, what that guy was explaining at the end of the video was basically this. Because a lot of animated movies and stuff are slowly making a comeback, you know, some of these studios, instead of hiring voice actors to do these roles like they used to, they were just thinking about getting an AI to do it. And they would just use the actor's voice and their likeness and have the AI create the character and, you know, have the voice say what they wanted to say. And that was that. And they would just, and the actor would just get paid, you know, one time. And you know, the studio would just have their likeness and their voice forever. Literally, it's like something off of The Little Mermaid, when Ariel traced her voice to Ursula. And that was one of the reasons these negotiations broke down. And again, I don't blame, you know, the actors for not accepting that. Because I know I wouldn't. You know, you just want to use my voice and my likeness and only get one check off of that. But you can use my voice and my likeness in any movie, even if I don't approve of it, even if that movie's not right for me. Okay. You know, so I'm glad people are waking up to how far this AI stuff can go. And, you know, people need to, and not just in the entertainment industry, but in all industries, start paying attention to see if their job is trying to put AI into their business, because the AI is being used to replace you as the worker. The Directors Guild of America, one of their and in their contracts, and the Director Guild of America is the union that makes sure directors get paid properly. And, you know, in their contracts for their directors, it clearly says now a director cannot be replaced by an AI. And that's what these actors and these writers also need to start having in their contracts. And they need to start ensuring their voice and their likeness. Because I guarantee you what these people who run these entertainment movie industries was trying to do was basically, if this strike kept going on or keeps going on, they were just going to replace the writers with AI. And soon they were just going to just take the actors' likeness and voice and have the AI do it for them. So people really need to wake up to a lot of stuff that's going on. Like I said, the economy's shaky right now. Inflation is high and it's affecting everything. And the people at the top only want the money for themselves and don't give a damn about the people at the bottom. And this has happened multiple times throughout history. It's happened in America multiple times. And usually these things have to come to drastic measures like that or even major lawsuits. And I can see that coming. If one of these people who work at Disney and MGM, you know, try to use that AI, I do expect a bunch of lawsuits. It might even be a class action lawsuit. So, you know, if you were waiting on your favorite shows to come back, yeah, you might want to, you know, just go back and rewatch the old seasons of them shows. Because Hollywood is shut down and they don't know how long this gonna last. But I will say this, what I've been noticing is, you know, just like in the music industry, how the vinyl has come back, I'm noticing a lot of older stuff in the TV and movie industry is coming back as well. You know, when I used to go about 3 years ago to Family Dollar or Walmart, you know, I wasn't seeing the DVD kiosk at the front when you're about to check your items out. You know, at the front where they have the checkout, there used to be a kiosk stand that used to have all the DVDs there. I wasn't seeing that for quite a few years. But about last year, I started noticing that DVDs of movies that came out that year or TV shows that came out 3 years ago and just ended, they're now starting to have the DVDs again. On Amazon, people have started buying DVDs up again. And now, again, with a show like Insecure, which came out, I believe, in 2019, and it ended in 2021, I believe. You know, for a while, they really didn't have no DVDs of that. But now I'm noticing they're just putting it as the complete series and selling that now, and people are buying it. So because of how streaming has not worked for certain companies, I'm noticing these companies are putting out DVDs again. So that does make me wonder how long streaming will last. Because this whole situation has shown that streaming can work for one company, but can't work for all of them. So again, if you're going to go into this industry like this, in the music industry, please be aware of what's going on and please make sure that you got your ducks in a row. Because ain't nothing worse than making money and, I mean, than being well known and famous and ain't having no money to your name or living paycheck to paycheck like some of these actors and writers. And on that note, I'm your boy Dean. I hope you enjoyed this piping hot tea. Thank you.